From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While Congress is back after its long summer break, its biggest challenge with just weeks to go before the end of the fiscal year is to avoid another government shutdown. With the impacts for agriculture and other sectors like office closures, furloughs, slowed government payments, and more. Not what lawmakers want before an election. But just under 9 weeks before the election day, Republicans and Democrats are split over how long into the new fiscal year to extend current funding, either into a lame duck Congress or a newly elected one. The American Farm Bureau's R.J. Carney.
There's no well-known answer yet on if it's going to go into a lame duck session or if they'll kick it back into March of next year. So that's sort of a wait-and-see game. Congress typically likes to respond as close to deadlines as possible.
And with crop and dairy prices so low and producers looking for near-term help, Carney said another kick-the-can-down-the-road scenario is not good for agriculture.
Unfortunately, in some ways, it's going to be more of the same, meaning Congress is passing a continuing resolution, possibly an omnibus, which has become the new regular order in many regards. For the past at least 6 or 7 fiscal years.
Delaying decisions on EQIP and other conservation programs, ag research and rural development, biotech outreach, policies dealing with Cuba, and reform of meat packing or meat marketing rules.
As that continues, it causes a lot of uncertainty on what any new programs Congress might be able to allocate more money to. Where some cuts might come in, and as farmers are trying to make decisions, these are going to have impacts not only on farmers and ranchers, but also rural communities throughout the United States.
Mandatory crop programs like crop insurance, crop payments, and nutrition programs would not be affected by continuing current spending. Well, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, Roger Johnson, National Farmers Union, they've got a fly-in coming into Washington, D.C. It begins this Sunday, goes through next Wednesday. And, of course, we will have interviews with some of those fine folks that are going to Washington during Farm Talk with Mick Kerr. So be listening for those coming up. Hopefully it'll be during Big Iron, so stick around for that. We'll be back with that fly-in right after this. As we continue on with Inside Agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, just before we took the break, said we're going to come back and talk about the National Farmers Union fly-in. Comes up this, Sunday. Farmers may make up less than 2% of the population, but their direct impact on our country stretches to every dinner table from California to Maine. Now, too often, that connection's overlooked, especially when it comes to food and farm policy discussions. The National Farmers Union works to bridge that divide by advocating for family farmers and ranchers in Washington, D.C. Roger Johnson, president of the nearly 200,000-member family farmer and rancher-led organization, says NFU members will have the opportunity to make their voices heard when they meet with members of Congress and White House staff during NFU's fall legislative fly-in, September 11th through the 14th.
National Farmers Union's annual fly-in is a great opportunity for us as an organization to follow up on the conversations that our members have been having with their elected officials during the August congressional recess. We've got more than 200 NFU members coming to our nation's capital to advocate on behalf of family farmers and ranchers and their rural communities. There are several issues still before Congress this fall that could impact farmers and ranchers. They include the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, the Renewable Fuel Standard, corporate consolidation in agriculture, and of course, the farm economy.
Now, one of the most prevalent issues facing the farm sector is the economic crisis that has left many family farmers and ranchers hurting. Market forecasts are predicting prolonged periods of low commodity prices and high input costs that will continue to strain the farm economy and limit many producers' access to affordable credit in this country. Johnson says it's important for members of Congress and their staffs to understand which policies and programs are working for their rural constituents and where improvements to the farm safety net are needed.
The growing economic crisis in rural America is very real, and Congress cannot stand by and watch as family farmers and ranchers are forced out of business as a result of these low commodity prices, too high input costs, and a growing inability to access affordable credit. Our members will be asking Congress for immediate solutions to the farm economic crisis, such as providing USDA with the necessary budget to get commodity payments to farmers immediately rather than waiting until the next marketing year, increasing funding for FSA guaranteed and direct lending programs, and authorizing emergency assistance to producers in need. We'll also be advocating for Congress to immediately begin work on the next farm bill to ensure that farmers and ranchers have access to a strong safety net.
Now, NFU members will also be discussing key issues that may come up this fall, such as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Renewable Fuel Standard, and Corporate Consolidation in Agriculture. Johnson said when advocating for these and other issues, NFU encourages farmers and ranchers to share how farm policies and programs affect their personal operations.
Our family farmer and rancher members are the best advocates we have for agriculture. We emphasize to our members the importance of having continuing and open dialogue and building relationships with their elected officials, because they need to have their viewpoints represented in these food and farm policy discussions. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, Renewable Fuel Standard, and Corporate Agriculture mergers are all examples of issues where both sides of the argument are very vocal. We want to make sure that members of Congress are aware of our positions to oppose the TPP, to oppose any legislative changes to the RFS, and to encourage further oversight of consolidation in the agriculture input sector.
National Farmers Union members will be in Washington, D.C. starting this Sunday through Wednesday. And if you want more information about the NFU legislative fly-in, visit nfu.org. Well, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, Heritage Foundation looking into the farm bill. Not good. That's next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, the Heritage Foundation is already laying out its case for ending commodity programs and crop insurance policies in the 2018 Farm Bill. Now, ProAg obtained a report that lays out the agenda for the lobbying arm of the organization to implement when Farm Bill negotiations get going. The report says most farmers are able to manage risk without taxpayer help. They say the $15 billion annually spent on programs actually promotes riskier farming practices, such as limited crop diversification and farming land prone to flooding and erosion. The report says some farmers would lose their land, but they feel the government should not be guaranteeing that all farming operations survive and even flourish. The foundation wants several programs enacted in the 2014 Farm Bill to be eliminated, including support programs like agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage. The group also wants to eliminate the dairy insurance program and current U.S. sugar policies to be discontinued as well. They want federal crop insurance to only cover deep yield losses and disasters and not cover revenue loss. Well, there's also the other side of that story. Now, early reactions to the Heritage Foundation report that calls for an end to commodity support programs and crop insurance have been swift. Dale Moore, the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the Heritage Foundation hasn't considered the current farm economy in their report, and that would leave farmers without a viable safety net. He said the challenges to cotton and dairy producers have been particularly difficult. Congress and agriculture groups have worked toward a more market-oriented system in recent years, according to Moore. Tom Sell of the lobbying firm Combus Sell & Associates said Congress has rejected this line of thinking in the past. They recognize that farmers take an extraordinary risk to produce food for a market that's been very distorted and volatile in recent years. They know the Heritage Foundation is trying to demean politics or policies that total 0.25% of the overall federal budget. That according to Sal. Well, we're going to take a break here. Now, when we come back, Chuck Grassley is setting up consolidation hearings. You've heard about all these companies that are trying to consolidate, one buying the other and taking over another. Well, we're going to have hearings on that. Chuck Grassley's calling for that, and it looks like it's going to happen September 20th. Right now, we'll take a break for these words, and we'll come back and talk about those hearings right after this. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, need to thank all the listeners on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News and Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said his committee will hold hearings on proposed consolidation in the chemical and seed sectors of agriculture. The Hagstrom Report says his announcement comes at the same time that Bob Young, chief economist from the American Farm Bureau Federation, expressed concerns about the three corporate mergers currently being considered. Now, Grassley will hold the hearing on September 20th, telling reporters that if the mergers go through, you'd have a big three instead of a big six. Grassley's referring to the proposed mergers of Dow and DuPont, the ChemChina plan to buy Syngenta, and the offer by Bayer to buy Monsanto. An article in the Financial Times reported yesterday that Young said any one of the proposed mergers would have been okay, but to have three of them hit at once, it kind of makes one wonder. Well, he's concerned about the cost of inputs for farmers. The obvious concern is, would the mergers bring you to a point where they charge more than would otherwise be the case with more competition? That according to Young. Well, the board of directors, yeah, we've got another merger coming up. Board of Directors of First Farm Credit Services, AgStar Financial Services, and Badger Land Financial unanimously voted to recommend a merger of the three associations to their respective members and stockholders. Now, the next steps will include a review and approval by AgriBank, which is the funding bank for the three associations, as well as a regulatory review and approval by the Farm Credit Administration. Well, both are scheduled to happen later this year. The proposed merger decision will be finalized with a stockholder vote in 2017. Now, some of the key decisions reached during the early discussion include Rod Hebrink, president and CEO of AgStar Financial Services, leading the proposed merged association. Now, the headquarters of the proposed association will be in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. All office locations will remain with the proposed merged association. The three associations share the same values and commitment to rural communities and agriculture, which will carry over into the proposed merged association. That according to Gary Ash, president and CEO of First Farm Credit Services. And it kind of sounds like agriculture trying to merge to make things work better for all entities. Don't know for sure that that would be a good case either. It's kind of like all big, all small, going to big, not a real good situation. That's Inside Agriculture. Have a great weekend. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.